Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. Sorry for being later than usual. For the next few days there will be uncertainty about the times. I know that tomorrow will be good at 7 p.m. Eastern time, Saturday also, but there will be some variation and hopefully we'll be back to normal as soon as I can, but I have personal stuff to deal with. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Amazing. Odyssey did what I asked them to do. They now have the thumbnail of the show on the waiting page. It's amazing to have a company that is responsive to its creators. I've not experienced this in a full decade of work at YouTube. And Odyssey is like, oh yeah, Jeff, you want this? We're going to do it. And it's done within weeks that I asked for it. It's amazing. So now we can know what we're waiting for. We can see the thumbnail while we're in the waiting room. And there's also a longer chat pre-show. Bonham Bonham was asking on the regular chat, hi, Jeff. I recently noticed my scalp whirl goes counterclockwise, which apparently is rare for a right-handed person. Do you think there could have been an evolutionary advantage to being right-handed or have a counterclockwise whirl? What about blood type? Also, can DNA double helixes go counterclockwise or CCW? Clockwise or counterclockwise? I don't know any response to this. I'm not even sure that this is true, that right-handed persons have a clockwise sense to their scalp swirl, which I guess is the angle at which the air shows up. I don't even know that that's true, but would there be an evolutionary advantage? I don't know. Maybe a kind of, you could imagine that if everyone has the, if most people, like 95% of the population, has a swirl in a given direction and you want to charm the lefty QTs, then you would have to have a swirl in the other direction, maybe because since everything is reverted in their body and brain, perhaps they would perceive your inverted swirl as the right swirl and therefore select you. So I could imagine a kind of niche in the human dating scene where you would have the counterclockwise, the contrary direction to most people, to charm those women who have an inverted perception of senses and counterclockwise. As far as DNA being counterclockwise, I think in a way, I think if you look at the helix from one of the ends, it is counterclockwise. I'm imagining it in my head. You have the double helix, it's going clockwise if you look at it from one side and perhaps counterclockwise if you look at it from the other side. I'm not aware of a lab reversal of this, and I'm not aware of a natural way in which this would get reversed or kind of assembled differently. I guess in principle it would be possible to make another molecule, but it wouldn't be DNA then. But as far as the nucleotides getting together, very unlikely to me that they would have another configuration, another form of rotation possible, if not changed in some way. Sprocket has sent a super chat during the night. By the way, yesterday was the private Patreon hangout. It was amazing. There are people who are pro-Ukraine in our community. There are people who are pro-Russia. And the level of the conversation was extremely high. It was tense and I really loved it. It was one of my favorite private Patreon hangout we've ever had. So go watch it if you haven't. And if you're subscribed at the $20 level, the link is still there on Subscribestar and Patreon. My God, we have clever people in this community and they were smashing on each other. I barely had to say anything. Sprocket was saying in a super chat, I remember you expressing dislike of government and corporations imposing punishment for potential future crime. Could your standard be applied to Russia so potential NATO attack from Ukraine wouldn't count as a war justification? It could, if my principle was that intervention by the state on any human being is always wrong. And that's the typical libertarian position. It's not my position. In my view, to be bound by a libertarian contract, you have to be able to reciprocate. So in my view, the libertarian contract would be something organized by a bunch of people who say, within one another, I with respect to you and you with respect to me, we will respect each other's liberties. And we will not kill each other, we will not do A, B, C, D, E, F. That is a contract that to enter in, you have to be able, you have to qualify as being able to make that promise, to enter into a promise that you're at least capable of potentially fulfilling. I understand that there are still murder in societies that have agreed that murder is wrong. But still, you have a general expectation that you won't be murdered, and that's because you enter in a contract with the people around you saying, all right, we all agree that murder is wrong, so we will always prosecute murder, and I promise that I will not murder you. You promise that you will not murder me. As far as states taking actions against people, human beings who are not their citizens, and therefore who have not promised the social their adherence to a social contract, there are no limits in my philosophy. There are no limits to what you can do to them. There are no limits to what you can consider to be an act of aggression, because they are not in a position to reciprocate on the promise of non-aggression. The Ukrainian citizens are not in a position to say our future babies will never attack Russia. They don't qualify as knowing this and being able to control this. And so if Russia decides to say, I consider that your babies will very likely be holding a nuclear threat over our head, that to me is a satisfying justification, because it relates to the existential possibility of even surviving for Russia. So because that is sufficient, and because the Ukrainians are unable to promise anything else that would withstand perpetuity, that would still be true in 100 years from now, then there are no violation, in my view, of my libertarian principles by what Russia is doing. That's why also you can see what Russia seems to be saying to Ukraine. All we would want is a promise embedded in your constitution in a way that is not changeable. Or if changeable, then we could restart the war when you change it. But it seems that Russia would be satisfied with Ukraine guaranteeing in their constitution that they won't host weapons from other countries or be in an alliance with NATO. To me, that's not a breach of my libertarian principles, because the Ukrainian citizens who are suffering the war have not been in a position to promise this to Russia. And in fact, Russia tried to give them a chance to do it. Vladimir Putin contacted the Kiev authorities before starting the war and offered them to withdraw weapons from Donbass. They didn't want to, so they chose to be a threat. And when you choose to be a threat, the other person that you're threatening is totally justified in taking preemptive actions. Grapes Coda says, and by the way, yesterday in the private Patreon hangout, that's all we were discussing, basically. And to those people who were saying that this war is not justified, they were saying, you know, Ukraine didn't commit an act of aggression against Russia. And I was pointing out, you know, if I was to bring a gun to someone's head and say, oh, I haven't shot yet, you can't do anything, technically I'd be correct. You know, I wouldn't have shot, I wouldn't have committed a murder, and I wouldn't have impeded on your liberty of movement. But we all understand that there is a threat to existence in this example, and I think the same could be said of the Ukraine example. Gripes Coda says, should the majority who abide these contracts be allowed to decide who is and is not a member of their citizenry, such as on an ethnic basis? Is this not a potential point of the Ukrainian nationalist? Who belongs to a society? To me, an ideal society would be built as follows. Every single individual can withdraw from the society. So if you don't want to live in a certain way, you should never be retained against your will. And in fact, you should have sovereignty if you own territory. You should have, every territory should have the option of separatism. That is one basic thing that most countries don't implement. In fact, most countries strongly combat separatism. But to me, it's an essential ingredient to a true social contract. If you cannot leave, if you cannot decide to go your own way, then you're not free. So separatism should always be respected from the state level, the province level, down to the individual level. Someone should be able to say, I don't like where this country is headed. I want to be a free citizen, and I define my land starting here to here as a new country. That should be an option. But then the rest of the society should also be allowed to say, okay, you got your country, but we're not going to send the firemen if your house is on fire. We're not going to send the police to your home if you are the victim of a crime. So it goes both ways. So as far as deciding to exclude people from society, I don't think this could be done. I think this shouldn't be done. At least not people who have been willfully committing to the contract. In other words, you shouldn't have a situation where a society is taken over, and but the people who were already in this society, let's say a minority of a given ethnic origin, if they have respected their part of the deal for the society, then their position in that society is equally guaranteed to anyone else. And so there shouldn't be wars to force someone out of a society. But what there can be is voluntary separatism. Hunter Biden's infamous laptop confirmed the New York Times report. The story was widely censored and labeled as disinformation by big tech in the run-up to the 2020 election. So when it mattered, they were pointing to it as disinformation, Russian disinformation, but now they're starting to talk about it. I don't know why the New York Times suddenly acknowledges the existence of this laptop, which had been making the rounds a long time ago, more than a year ago, if I remember correctly. And so why do they do it? I've seen a theory out there that there may be a prosecution in brewing, perhaps against Hunter Biden himself. You know, I've always pointed, it's very weird that Hunter Biden essentially can be proven to have sold his influence and the influence of his father. When he says, you know, 10 for the big guy, that's money being used to corrupt an American official. And it's always been weird to me that there were no prosecution of this. And so the theory out there, I don't know if it's true, but the theory is that they would start to prosecute, and the mainstream media would want to whitewash the fact that they've denied this story and they've not talked about it for years, when in fact it was proven to be true. Steven Robinson is on Entropy. Join me on Entropy. It is my favorite platform for super chats. You can support the show by sending questions and super chats on Entropy, or you can use the wonderful support button below the Odyssey video. Will China take Taiwan? That is my question today on Entropy. Steven Robinson says, Jeff, who do you know of would be a leader in the modern world most resembling Ron Paul? Does this person exist in politics today? If not, who would make the best case for his values? Ron Paul has been great. He's been a great critique of Fauci. I don't know. You're telling me we would have another candidate than him. I don't know who that would be. To be honest, most libertarians and people who are liberty oriented, they're not very appealing, and it's very rare that you get much intelligence from them. So I don't know. I cannot imagine a single person who would be a true knight of liberty in this dark world, and I don't expect him to rise up, because anyways, people won't vote for that. Bonham Bonham says, Jeff, aren't the nations of Earth already engaged in a libertarian model where the contract is the law of the jungle, and then enclaves, as you say, got created, aka nations? Certainly the way countries interact with one another doesn't fit the libertarian contract, the non-aggression principle. To the contrary, I would argue that what we see emerge as the boundaries of nations are basically the result of constant existential struggle and fighting and war between all these nations. So, no, I don't think that the libertarian model applies to inter-nation interactions. New, U.S. continues to deplete its strategic petroleum reserve, now down to 33 days worth of oil supply at the current demand, one of its lowest levels in history. So let never forget that the price of gas has not dramatically increased. I mean, it has increased a lot, but I think there's more to come, because the U.S. is currently emptying its reserves. Once the U.S. is unable to contribute to reserves that are held by the state, and that would be 30 days if they were to supply the whole of the economy, we will see further rises in the price of gas. They're kind of dampening here the rise, but it's going to come. The Red Elephant has pointed out to a very interesting Telegram post. He says it's evidence of a false flag attack. I wouldn't call it that way. But it turns out that a Telegram post has been announcing on March 12 that the Mariupol drama theater would be targeted, and that it is the Ukrainian side that would target it. Now, that's proven, published on March 12. And we had the attack on the drama theater yesterday on March 16th. What does that mean? The claim was Zelensky is going to strike his own people, and it's going to be used for... And you remember, there were pictures of this theater with children written on the parkings. And Zelensky would use this as an opportunity to recruit American contribution in aid and American participation to the war. And it describes that there will be a provocation. They call it a provocation, basically a false flag. I don't think it's necessarily evidence that it was a false flag. It's certainly worrying. The other possibility is that the Russians knew they would strike there, and they have published this message on Telegram to make sure that there was a doubt raised in people's mind about whether this was the Zelensky side who did it. I would like to have more data to slice between these two hypotheses. Was it truly a Russian strike, or was it a Ukraine's false flag? I would love to be able to answer to these questions, but I can't. Too much fog of war. We would have to have radar evidence tracking where the missile came from. How did it happen? Were there aerial bombardments at that moment? I don't know. It would be very interesting to know, though. Golesh says, is CRP alive? Yes, he is. I've watched his video of today. He's doing good. And what he's saying in his most recent analysis of the war is that the Russians are winning, and yet you have this whole mediatic operation of misinformation that says the Russian troops are low morale, they're not accomplishing their goals, and yet he sees their advance. He sees that they are taking over Kharkiv. So he's shocked that he sees a reality, but then he sees that the media says the total contrary. This whole conception that the Russian army is low morale and failing, to me, has never been proven in any convincing way. And that's what we discussed yesterday in the private show. It's not supported by anything except Ukraine rooters, Ukraine appreciators. Now, I can understand the will to root for your own side, but that's disinformation. When you start making claims about the psychology of the other side, and CRP is saying in his video that he expects a false flag, he expects that some desperate type of weaponry, like chemical weapons, will be used by America or by the Ukraine side with the idea of putting it on the back of the Russians, and that this whole media narrative that is developing right now, this whole idea that, oh, the Russians are desperate, is for the purpose of making that false flag, that false flag to be, to make it look more realistic. Interesting theory, but it's a prediction about the future. Stephen Robinson says, do you think Ron Paul would run for president, or is he too old? Rand Paul, I'm confused here. Ron Paul is the libertarian, and Rand Paul, I thought you were talking about Rand Paul. Rand Paul is the guy who criticized Fauci. Okay, so sorry for my earlier comment. I thought you were talking about Rand Paul, but as far as Ron Paul, I think did he already run as a libertarian candidate or something? He's a representative for Texas 22nd congressional district from 1979 to 1989 and 1997 to 2013. I don't know, he seems pretty old to get into the game again, but it's not something that I would exclude. Luke Jones says, hi Jeff, I saw a genetic distance chart which showed Nigerian versus Aboriginal distance was 17%. But the Nigerian within group value was 31%. Could you please explain why the within group value is higher? Is the within group value and the between group value calculated the same way? I have sent you the chart on Discord. Thank you, JF. You never know about these... Okay, so he sent me the chart here. Estimates of at average heterozygosities and DA distances for 26 representative populations from around the world. These values are based on gene frequency data for 29 polymorphic loci. Well, there you go. There you go. The weakness of this approach is right there in the description of the figure. So 29 polymorphic loci is ridiculous, and they always do this. They restrict their analysis to a bunch of like 29 letters of DNA. That's what it means. Like out of 6 billion letters of DNA, out of the 200,000 or so that are varying across humanity, they chose 29. Now, that is not representative. And my guess is if you were to extend, and there's been work on this, to really see the racial distinction come out as the strongest, you have to get in the 100 range, 1,000 range. Compare 1,000 letters of DNA and you'll get a different graph. So there you go. I debunked their claim, but they always do this. That's classical from the whole Lewontin fallacy times. They always look at a restricted set of genes and then they're like, oh my god, look at this, there's more variability inside the race than outside. And always they looked at 10, 20 loci and you're like, what the fuck? they are they selecting these loci to reach that conclusion? What a fucking bunch of deceiver, evil people. There's an article that does it better. It looks at 10, 20, and then it looks at 100, 1,000. And it turns out that the distinction at 1,000 becomes totally overwhelming. And the whole Lewontin fallacy is based partly on subsampling, basically cherry picking. Cloud Warmer sends a super chat, 10 LBC, thank you so much. He says, the Federal Reserve has begun increasing base interest rate. Some indications would suggest 7 more rate increases by the Fed within the next 2 years. Some hypothesis is that these changes will be felt by September. Normally, wages would increase at the same time. What are your thoughts, JF? Yes, so it's... right now, the markets, apparently, the economists are looking at this and, okay, an increase of the rate. Those are very small increases, so they're not... It's going to be long before it's a major change. And actually, the people are pricing it what they call a policy error. In other words, they expect that the Fed will say, oh no, we've been hiking the rates too fast and we're hurting the American economy. We have to cancel our plan. And so people actually expect that it's a bluff from the Fed. Maybe it's not a bluff though, but in any case, it's very soft. And that's why I'm keeping my Bitcoin, is that I don't think anyone has to be worried about these rate hikes. And because right now the prediction at Zero Edge is that, okay, those rate hikes look aggressive. They're going to bring us in a depression economically. And combined with the effect of the war and the whole Russia-Ukraine stuff. And America will be in a very dire position because the fuel will be extremely high. The inflation will be extremely high. Ultimately, the rate hikes will not be enough to rein in inflation. And so people are going to start starving or at least be have difficulty finding jobs. And at that moment, the Fed will reverse. They will declare a policy error. They will say, oh, sorry, we went too fast. And they will restart the money printing. So that's the current analysis. And I would tend to agree with this. I think this is what we're headed for. China blast the U.S. mudslinging and disinformation in Washington Post op-ed on Ukraine. China's ambassador to the U.S. blasted as total disinformation. The White House charged that Beijing is poised to answer positively Moscow's request for military assistance. Let me say this responsibly. Assertions that China knew about, acquiesced to, or tacitly supported this war are purely disinformation. Very interesting take here, because you've heard the stories around China would have been agreeing to send food rations to the Russian military, but those stories were all according to the intelligence community. And of course, when it comes from the intelligence community, it reveals less the truth, but more generally what they want, what they think is happening, and what they want to be known to happen. So it's a bunch of disinformation agents at the intelligence community, CIA, and all these things. And so I'm not surprised, and it's great to see China clap back at the US and say, look, you're not going to start building in your media an anti-Chinese sentiment. And he was extremely reasonable. He said, neither war nor sanctions can deliver peace. Wielding the baton of sanctions at Chinese companies while seeking China's support and cooperation simply will not work. Very interesting. He's saying, stop playing this game with us. Stop threatening us that if we collaborate with Russia, you're going to punish us and make these false statements in your media. It's all bullshit. They call the bullshit. And they were extremely reasonable at framing also the Russian position. They said the legitimate security concerns of all countries must be taken seriously. That's a jab at the American position, which is, oh no, Russia doesn't have anything to worry about the expansion of NATO. It's not an aggression. Well, China is saying, take Russia seriously, because you've been using that kind of justification for American interest, American warmongering. Vancouver Times, Cloud is sending a link, but the link is 404. Four Disney employees. I'm trying to search it on the search engine. Four Disney employees arrested in human trafficking campaign. Over 100 people were arrested in Polk County, Florida during Operation March Sadness 2, a six-day undercover investigation that focused on human trafficking, prostitution, and child predators. While most of the arrests involved people accused of human trafficking or soliciting prostitution, the sheriff's office also made four arrests for alleged crimes against children. A lifeguard at Disney. A software developer at Disney. Okay, there are pedos at Disney. Like, tell me something I don't know. Here's the latest control of the terrain map of the Russian invasion of Ukraine from the Study of War and Critical Threat. Assessed control of terrain in Ukraine and main Russian maneuver axis. It's looking good for the Russian army. They've been totally getting the southern border. They still don't have this Odessa and Mykolaiv part, but they have massive control here, and Mariupol is basically fallen or about to fall. I don't know how you would describe it. Chernihiv is encircled. So we don't see massive advances, but they are very significant advances, and the stranglehold over Ukraine is increasing. And we're not even sure that they want to get into Kyiv right now. So the way I look at this is probably the most important positioning for Russia is the southern advance and the eastern advance. And once this is done, Kyiv would be much more easy to concentrate on. But Russia is performing extremely well as far as I'm concerned. Len Dold says, Mariupol is 90% done by now. Yeah, Mariupol is totally done. It's encircled. I mean, it's just a matter of how much suffering do you want? Because right now they could leave, they could surrender, and they don't. So as long as this doesn't happen, there will be further destruction, further suffering. Pedro, who was sending me the genetic study, says, thank you so much, JF. Do you happen to have a link to the study you mentioned, which shows comparisons with increased loci? If not, what should I search to find that study? Let me try to find it for you. Loci differentiation by race, 1,000 SNPs. I'm not finding it. Perhaps I would go on the alternative hypothesis. I know he quotes it. The alternative hypothesis, the existence of race. I think it's in that page at somewhere. Write to me again after the show and I'll take the time to find the link for you, but I don't want to bug the live show. Write to me again and I will be happy to do it after the show. So what do we have in the news on the map? An ambassador tells AFP that Moscow canceled the vote on its humanitarian resolution after it failed to secure co-sponsorship of the draft text from China and India. Head of Luhansk Regional Administration confirms Russian troops advance in Rubizny town, shelling again targeting Kharkiv. U.S. intel sharing with Ukraine is making a difference per the Department of Defense. Well, of course, essentially, the intelligence service of Ukraine is fully, is basically free work that the Americans are doing for Ukraine. And if I was Vladimir Putin, I would start being worried that you're going to be faced with an infinite production of new weapons always coming into the territory. There is no end to this until it's won. So Vladimir Putin will have to redouble the effort, and if he wants to conquer a large part of Ukraine, not let the Americans get their kind of passive-aggressive covert operations in. Stephen Robinson says, JF, have you done a show on the Khazarian Empire? Today I've heard them called the name Stealers, situated in the middle of the Silk Road. They are the Ashkenazi. They stole the Jewish story and made a culture for themselves out of it. They are not Jews. They are not Semitic people. They are the Khazarian name Stealers. I would have to research on this subject, but the idea that the Khazarians have appropriated Jewish culture, I don't know that that's true. Send me links. Send me links and I'll review them, but I think you may be divagating here, or trolling, maybe. But there was a bunch of claims that the Khazar people gave rise to the Ashkenazi Jewish people. But these claims happen to be false. And so from the genetic analysis perspective, it's disproven. But I don't know that the people as a whole, the Khazarians themselves, were claiming strongly that identity. I think it was an historian, actually, who started advancing this this thesis, and it turned out to be false. But I loosely remember reading about these things. Russian troops in Rubizne now. So those are the advancements of the Russian troops. The U.S. citizen killed in Ukraine today was James Whitney Hill from Minnesota. CNN confirms via an advisor to Ukraine's interior minister. NYT says he traveled to Chernihiv in December for his partner, a Ukrainian, to be treated for multiple sclerosis. They got stuck in a hospital. I think this doesn't tell the whole story, because I've read on other media that he was a counselor to the Ukraine government. So it's not really just going there to save his wife and dying in a hospital. It looks like he was engaged in counseling and partnering with the Ukraine government. Well, now he's dead. Another American citizen after, of course, the Fox News journalist who got shot, and a cameraman, a New York Times photographer who was not working for the New York Times, but who had a New York Times press pass. Did you ever ask yourself how one of the poorest countries in Europe happens to be the largest donor to the Clinton Foundation? I didn't know this. Ukraine apparently has $10 million contribution to the Clinton Foundation. I guess that's partly the reason why they get so protected. Denis Lembea says, yes, buffering rather badly tonight. Who is it buffering for? Type 1 if it's not buffering for you. Type 2 if it is buffering for you. I would like to know. There are a lot of people who are complaining that there's been shootings and aggressivity by the Ukrainian soldiers and the Azov battalions. Okay, so it's buffering for everyone. Everyone is suffering from buffering. Well, that's really too bad. I'm sorry about this. We all pray and we hope that Odyssey gets better. I have no control over this. it's the best that we can do is hope. I know that they're working on these things. So, and worst case scenario, if it's too annoying, you can come back after the show. I will publish the full video, of course, as always. A Greek lady who has just arrived in Greece. There's lots of people complaining that they have been the victim of mistreatment at the hands of the Ukrainian side, the Azov battalions at time. This is an interview with a Greek lady who just arrived in Greece after being evacuated from Mariupol. Ukrainian soldiers stopped us and threatened us with guns. After that, we met Russian soldiers in tanks that were trying to calm us down. It looks like the siege of Mariupol is so tense on the Azov battalion, and they insist so much on keeping their civilian shields because they know they're going to get their ass whooped once the civilians are out, that they are imposing a lot of threats to the local citizenry to keep them from escaping. That's disgusting. And yet you don't see this in the mainstream media, but I've seen enough reports to be basically sure that this is happening. We have ladies coming out of these places, men, old men, younger men, people of all sorts and people of all ethnic origins have all contributed to this this testimony that it's happening in Mariupol and it's happening probably in other places of Ukraine. People were republishing this video of Trump talking in front of Zelensky. That time Trump called out the corruption in Ukraine with Zelensky sitting next to him. The look on his face is priceless. I can't wait for this to unravel. Look at this. This makes me want Trump to be back. I would love for Trump to be back because this is the kind of moment that is priceless that we can look back at and that has so much value today.
Because the corruption is massive. Now, when Biden's son walks away with millions of dollars from Ukraine and he knows nothing.
No. Corruption is not massive.
Because the corruption is massive. Now, when Biden's son walks away with millions of dollars from Ukraine and he knows nothing.
Oh my God, Zelensky is like, oh no, this is not the image I would like to display. Well, yes, your country is a shithole of corruption, my bro. So much so that it's actually a decent belief to just think that even a highly corrupted country like Russia would actually improve your country. That was one of the points I did yesterday in the Patreon private hangout. It's like, yeah, I understand that Russia is not perfect, but the level of corruption and human trafficking in Ukraine is such that just accidentally, just from the dilution effect of being in Russia, it would probably get better. You would probably fuck your population up less under a federation like that of Russia. Now, people were saying, JF, in Russia, they organize elections to control who wins as a mayor. And I was like, in Ukraine, they kill the mayor when they're tired of it. It's like, yeah, I understand that the democratic system of Russia is not perfect. But in Ukraine, when they're tired of a mayor, they kill him. And they bring in the new mayor. Yeah, Ukraine is going to improve under the leadership of Vladimir Putin. Armaluchis says, did you see Devin Stack's new music video, 2-minute clip? I don't like music, bro. Two killed, warehouse caught fire as a result of Russian army shelling Zviatoshinsky district of Kiev. So more result of bombardment here of the warehouse and manufacturing capacity of Ukraine. We are seeing that Russia is holding onto its promise of attacking basically the production capacities of Ukraine, including food and weaponry. Ongoing artillery battle between Russian and Ukraine forces. This was between Kherson and Mykolaiv. So those are some of the fighting back that Ukraine is doing to try to regain some territory. They've not been fantastically successful at it. Well, I don't know how they... How are these things guided? I have no idea. Are these just projected with mathematical calculations, or do they have some kind of a servo direction available to them as they head toward their target? I have no clue. I would be very interested to understand the basics of artillery, and are they just calculating, like, okay, at this angle, at this speed, it's going to get there approximately, or do they have something like GPS positioning? I don't know. Steven Robinson says, I don't have any links. This was a topic at the coffee shop this morning. It's interesting that from a genetic perspective, you are able to debunk this claim that the Khazars and the Ashkenazi are distinct. That is, unless genetics is a conspiracy. Well, yeah, genetics is not a conspiracy. 28 buses evacuated from settlements of Kiev region to safe places. So the humanitarian evacuations are continuing. Hopefully this can speed up the process of war. Hopefully once the civilians are out, then the question becomes extremely simple. If I see someone, he's a soldier, boom, artillery, missile, just shooting. And we can get through this conflict because this conflict is being uselessly extended by the Zelensky side. And I hope that it concludes relatively quick. Russian Su-25 destroys Ukrainian military infrastructure from Andrew Torba here. So that's a video that looks like it's been given by the Russian side because it has their typical montage type of traces. Those look like powerful planes. So I don't know, is that what the plane driver is seeing? So there he is, shooting missiles at infrastructure. Alright, well, it's kind of bizarre in the montage style, but we get what's happening here. Bombardment from the sky. Residential complex caught fire in Irpin. So some residential buildings are being affected by the activities of war going on around. Ukraine just silently announced it's the first country to implement the World Economic Forum's Great Reset by setting up a social credit application combining universal basic income, a digital identity, and a vaccine passport. This is not a random thing. This is happening as part of the whole quest of Ukraine to punish its Russian citizens. And so they're going to be very tight on this vaccine passport thing, this digital identity thing, to eventually deprive the Russian part of its citizenry, not only of government employment, but anything. They've already cut the retirement payments to the people who were true pro-Russian. They've cut the possibilities for employment in the government for Yanukovych supporters. And I wouldn't be surprised that further things like this, digital identity and that kind of crap, will be used against their citizens who are of Russian ethnic origin. Russian troops kidnapped the head of Veliky Berluk community, Viktor Terechenko. So in the northeast, I believe, or in the east in general, this is a place where the Russians are starting to kidnap mayors. We've seen them do this before. It's quite clever because they've got 9 Russian soldiers in exchange in the prisoner of war exchange. So they're going to keep doing it until they can save all of their soldiers and at the same time replace the local administrations with military-style administrators. Another citizen complaining that the Azov battalion is shooting on their own side. This guy talks in Ukrainian or Russian, but he says, Azov, bitch, people were leaving. Azov shot people. They shot columns of civilians who tried to go to Volodarsk. They shot buses. Civilians who finally escaped the neo-Nazi blockade of Mariupol, they say there are dead civilians everywhere. This is people who have had a people who have had a first primary look at the events in Mariupol and who are saying, yes, it was the Azov battalion intimidating us, shooting at us and killing us. I will play it so that you can see the emotion of the guy as he says it was the Azov battalion. You will say Azov Suka, that means Azov bitch.
Украинские военные как-то Спасибо. Помогали вам, давали
вообще,
зеленый коридор.
Вообще никто ничего не давал, никаких коридоров.
В подвалах сидим.
Азов, сука, выжали люди, Азов, блядь, расстреливал пидорасы, сука.
Что Азов делал?
Расстреливал колонны, блядь, мирных нахуй, пытались выезжать на Володарск, расстреливали блядь. Автобусы, блядь.
So he's saying that the Azov battalion was the one shooting at the buses trying to leave, shooting at the civilians trying to leave, because of course once the citizens are out, the Azov battalion might be denazified by Vladimir Putin. Some video of military clashes around an industrial zone of Avdiivka. We see some combat happening, although it's not super clear on the camera. Those sounds like very powerful weapon, automatic weapon probably, sounds very powerful. You can feel the difference with these little civilian weapons, at least if it's not an artifact of the sound recording. Here we can see strikes happening in city areas, strikes from the sky. This looks like it's a port here, so that would be, that could be Mariupol, I guess. All right, so we are seeing heavy strikes from the sky. Russian forces destroyed the children's house of creativity in Marinka. Well, of course, the question is, were there children in there doing creative work? Or had it been repurposed, like pretty much everything in Ukraine right now, as a place for Ukraine soldiers and Azov battalion to group up and stack ammo and that kind of stuff? So if you have your soldiers entering in this, it's no more a child creativity center. It is a legitimate targetable area. The NYT now admits the Biden laptop, falsely called Russian disinformation, is authentic. Again, I've commented on this at the beginning of the show, but that's another take from the Zero Hedge article. Very interesting that they're talking about it now, probably because it can't hurt the election anymore, and the Democrats kind of want to acknowledge that they've skipped over that truth when it comes to reporting about it. U.S. confirms American citizen killed in Ukraine. Biden calls Putin murderous dictator and poor thug An American citizen has been killed in Ukraine, reportedly amid Russian shelling of the northern city of Chernihiv. Both the US and Ukrainian government are confirming, with the State Department saying, "We offer our sincerest to the family on their last. Out of respect to the family during this difficult time, we have no further comment." Killed in a Russian assault, he and his partner had traveled to the city so he could be treated for multiple sclerosis. Blinken, in a Thursday press briefing, also said, "Today we have strong sense of what Russia could do next. We believe that Moscow may be setting the stage to use a chemical weapon and then falsely blame Ukraine to justify escalating its attacks on the Ukrainian people." They keep trying to preempt false flags. Will we see a chemical weapon attack? And if that happens, I don't know. I don't know which side would it be. Would it be the Ukraine, the Azov battalion? Would it be the Russian side? There's no way to know at this point. Both sides are saying they're going to do a false flag attacks. And at sometimes it actually happens. Like the strike on the drama theater that has been predicted in a Telegram post 4 days before. But even then, I don't know who to believe, what to believe, because who's doing the prediction? Who was operating this Telegram channel? Was it a covert Russian agent disguised as a Ukraine agent? Was it a covert Ukraine agent disguised as a Russian agent? I have no idea what to do of these false flag claims. Federal judge dismisses felony obstruction charge in second January 6 case in 8 days. For the second time in 8 days, U.S. District Judge Carl J. Nichols has dismissed a felony obstruction charge alleging a January 6 defendant tried to prevent the certification of Electoral College votes in the 2020 presidential race. Nothing in count 3 or the superseding indictment generally alleges, let alone implies, that Fisher took some action with respect to a document, record, or other object in order to corruptly obstruct, impede, or influence Congress certification of the electoral vote. That is very interesting because it says, you know, I was under the impression that they, at least that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to make the case that the mere entry into the Capitol was an object of, here, I'm going to ban this guy. You're banned. Bye. You don't learn fast enough. You're not intelligent enough to have freedom of speech here. You are done. Here, I'm going to ban another few people just for good measure to be sure that we clean up this Odyssey space. All right. So they were trying to make the case that it was a blockade of a democratic process by the mere fact that they entered the Capitol. But here the judge is saying, whoa, I'm not seeing any messing with documents. I'm not seeing them physically trying to block the vote. I'm not seeing evidence. They were just walking in. So that might be the fate of most January 6 defendants. If the judge concludes mere entry into the Capitol is not enough to consider it a criminal blockade of a democratic process, well then, what's left? They're going to be accused of some vandalism, maybe, for those for which there is evidence. Tillman says, JF, at this point, who is the one to gain from a false flag? Well, right now, certainly the Zelensky regime has been false flags would play totally in their hand because they've been from the beginning in this whole mode of not winning the physical war, but instead winning the diplomatic game outside of Ukraine, which is a ridiculous strategy. I mean, they've even suggested on social media that a new term be invented, Ukraine. You've been Ukrained. That means you've been fucked in the ass, basically, by your own partners who were telling you, we're on your side, we're on your side, and then you get attacked by the Russians or something happens, and then your partners disappear and they keep cheering for you, but they won't help you. This is what has happened to Ukraine, and I think it's proper that we adopt this saying, you've gotten Ukraine, because this is what's happening to the country. They've been misled into a Europeanization direction, and NATO didn't even accept them in NATO, and second, when they were taken over, they were like, oh, I wash my hands, we can't be at war with Russia, which makes sense as a decision, but it's kind of letting down a country that was very much on your side, that was very much converting into a Western country. So it's kind of bizarre to see how they got dropped under the bus. First, they came for Novak Djokovic, and I said nothing. Daniil Medvedev, the world number one tennis player, could face a ban from Wimbledon unless he provides public assurances that he is not a supporter of President Putin. Unbelievable, the anti-Russian canceling that's happening. Unbelievable. I mean, we won't get competitive tennis very soon. It's going to be just pleasurable tennis games between non-experts, because they're canceling tennis players for not taking the vaccine. Now they're canceling a tennis player for being too Russian, and for they're engaged in compelling speech, compelling political speech, just because he's Russian, basically, we're going to assume that perhaps he's a supporter of Putin and therefore he has to disavow Putin. We are entering the age of compelled speech, my friends. Talking about compelled speech, YouTube flags Tulsi Gabbard's criticism of the war machine as offensive content. This is hard to believe, but it's happening. In the 90s, in the 2000s, anytime before 2022, really, if you were to go on the public space and say, you know what, war is a dirty thing that enriches people and these companies in the military industrial complex, they're making money out of it, it's disgusting, they're benefiting from the suffering of people. This is what Tulsi Gabbard was saying. A basic leftist talking point since the George Bush is a terrorist t-shirt and beyond and before. This has not been a problem, and it's a truth about the American system of war. Tulsi Gabbard does it now that the warmongering intensifies. She gets flagged on YouTube, offensive content, so you have to click on I understand before you watch this Fox News interview. And all that she's saying is that there is a military industrial complex and there are people who benefit from warmongering around Ukraine in dirty ways. That's now too hot for YouTube. I'm glad to be out of this crappy place. US Treasury confirms we can remove illicit activity from the Bitcoin FUD DAIs, with the US Treasury recently indicating that Bitcoin and altcoins aren't used for significant illicit activity, it's time to change the narrative. Very interesting. So the government people are recognizing Bitcoin is not what criminals used, and it's not a significant contributor to more criminal transactions. In fact, if anything, Bitcoin is more traceable than actual money, physical money, bills. So in a way, you'd be a little bit crazy to engage in direct criminal transaction on a network where every bit of this money can be traced back to its origins. So I'm very happy that the US Treasury is finally admitting that this was just a false a false claim that was done to seed fear and doubt around Bitcoin. It's just not true. That is it for tonight, boys. We will be concluding the show. Steven Robinson says, soon the best female tennis player will be a man. That also is happening in parallel. So you have a destruction of the male side of tennis by requirements like vaccination and disavow Putin. And on the female side, of course, you have the trans issue in sports. Will China take Taiwan, given that they're starting to talk more and more aggressively about the US disinfo campaigns? 5 people have voted yes, 2 people have voted no. Yes, it's definitely the most tempting moment for China to do something. I don't see what the US could do, given that they have so much to jungle with. Like, you could have the same effect happen where the US and the West in general tries to feed a kind of insurrection through weapon distribution in Taiwan. But right now, I think they wouldn't have the resource to do it significantly, because they're so occupied on the Ukraine side. They would definitely have less resources that they would be able to instantly deploy, and China would be taking back Taiwan in a confident manner, in a quick manner, without the opportunity for a significant insurgency to develop. Armaluchis says, JF, did you see Devin Stack's new music video? I've already answered your fucking regular chat. And you've been repeating it again and again throughout this show. I'm about to ban you, Armaluchis. Stop annoying me with fucking music video. I'm sure it sucks and I'll never listen to it. Bye-bye, everyone. Sleep well.